This is the Radio Ronin Show on Podbash.com.
Yeah.
What?
I know. I should be starting with more zest.
Welcome to Podbash.
More pith and vinegar. Or something.
That's great.
Hey, it's Radio Ronin. It's I'm Chunga. The lovely, the talented Mr. Kenny D is right over there.
Damn, Daniel.
Oh no.
What was that? What did I miss?
You'll see.
Yeah.
I don't know that one.
There's a stupid viral video where this kid has a crush on this guy named Daniel, and he's just following around with his phone. He goes, "Damn, Daniel.
Damn, Daniel.
Damn, Daniel. Rocking the white Vans, Daniel."
It's another Daniel. Dude.
Yeah.
Okay.
And he's wearing white Vans every time.
Yeah.
And
Damn, Daniel.
It's so stupid.
The sparkly, the effervescent. Just Jess is right over there.
Do you think that Kenny is in groin kicking distance? Because I feel like I should scoot forward.
What happened? But right before the show started, there was some sort of melee that broke out.
Kenny tried to beat me up.
I did beat her up.
It looked like you attempted like a real life titty twister. The way she was bent over and the way you were grabbing.
Oh, I was reaching to punch groin.
I was
was no grabbing. It was just solid fists punching.
I thought to myself, oh, now he's gone and done it. He's actually groped Jess.
Jess is my sister, and that is not appropriate.
So not okay.
I don't think Jess would really be like offended.
Did you scoot closer?
Like
so I can.
God.
The smartest man in the room.
So he can kick easily.
Mr. DJ Spinari.
Should we redo this whole show? What do you think?
Well, I don't know.
Can we see how many times I can make Kenny run away from the mic?
It's
I'm getting better.
He's not flinching as bad.
Right.
I blame me. It started with me.
Yeah. What was your deal?
I'm just in a funk, man. I'm just funked out.
Better than being
I'm just bummed.
In?
No, I'm bummed. I'm all the way bummed.
Why?
Well, 2016 has been a weird year. It's had a lot of people die. A lot of weird stuff has happened, right? There's that.
There's some good stuff, too.
I keep thinking that like good things are going to happen, and I just hang on to these weird little good things that I know are just going to be so awesome, right?
Yeah, like we're going to get a president that really represents the way we feel and our values and ideals.
There's that.
Okay.
We can definitely talk about that
sure.
in a minute. But I mean, everywhere I turn, dude. Everywhere I turn.
Like everywhere you look?
Jess, everywhere I turn.
I'll be watching
it's
you?
It's just report after report after report that Fuller House is just not going to be very good.
No!
That is why you were sad?
Now really? She's sad.
My child life.
See?
Child life.
Spinari loves it too.
I love Full House.
Okay.
Yeah.
You were like born 2 years after Full House was canceled.
Yeah, but it was still on
Maybe.
TV when I was growing up. So yeah. I love Full House. Like,
I'm sorry. Can you excuse me for a minute? Adam is Adam Strickler, who was our tour manager for a long time. I've told him like 5 times we are recording. Since I told him that,
he's like, "Oh, sorry. Hey, oh, I'm really sorry."
11 texts.
He just wants to be part of the show. He just
he's always around during Bash Music. And
yeah,
stuff.
You know he's great.
Love Adam. Love you, dude.
Do you know what my favorite part of Adam is?
Hmm.
And everyone who's not listening to Bash Music and commenting on the page,
yeah,
get to it.
We have hundreds and hundreds of people that listen live,
and we have fun in the comments.
And there's like 20 or 50 people, something like that, that actually comment.
Yeah,
but everybody should be there commenting because it's hilarious.
So we'll be commenting about. Pretty much like really, you know, really base level humor stuff.
Yeah.
And we're getting pretty crude or whatever. And then every 8 comments, Adam, the dependable listener,
yes,
says, "Great mix, Chunga."
Yeah.
"Great set, Spinari."
Awesome.
And
job.
I go, because he's always trying to bring
love
it.
This beat.
Yeah. He's always trying to bring it back. And he's being a great listener. And here we are just being as childish as can be.
Yeah, totally.
And whenever I'm just going, like, yep, I really crossed the line there, he always goes, "Love that drop." And I go, "It's Adam."
Well, this is and that's why Adam is so good at what he does, because
right.
Adam's a tour manager, and so when we go out on the road, Adam is there to make sure that we A, show up, B, that we're sober, C, that the crew is sober. He really is the detail-oriented guy that makes sure that everything is there and is running on schedule.
Yeah.
And so
yeah.
At any given day that we're on the road, Adam is going, "Spin, are you okay? Are you okay? What do you need? Are you all right? Are you good? Are you know, just that's what a tour manager does." And so I think what he's trying to do is trying to show us, hey, we haven't forgotten about you. As you're playing and everybody's just talking shit. Adam's like, I'm listening, boys. I'm paying attention.
Where Jess is talking about, it's a personal goal for her and Kevin to break as many things as they can while they are
getting busy.
Doing
what? Yeah, I missed that part of the conversation. Yeah, thank goodness.
That's why I have a collection of porcelain statuettes on her bedstand
around all the nice things.
Yeah, so we don't break the nice things.
She says it's her goal to break something every time they, you know. So anyway,
I want to joke about that, but like I just feel sick.
And then Jess would say this, and then Adam's like, "Great drop, Spinari."
Yeah,
good job, dude.
I'm honestly picturing everyone who comments there to make their own dirty comment, and then him to be like,
"Yeah,
great." So then great song choice.
We'd start talking about like Henry Cavill, and then someone would be like, "Jess, you need to break something."
Yeah,
like it. I
caught that. That's
so
when I jumped into the conversation.
There you go.
Anyway, you need to understand when you're listening to Bash Music, there is a whole chat component. There's a whole community that we're trying to build up there where everybody is welcome. Every new person that comes in is greeted like they're an old friend. It's fun seeing new people pop in.
It is.
Because I can see them there watching. And then they'll go, hey, everybody. And then everybody lights up and then you can't shut them up.
Yeah.
You know, they'll be there for a while kind of lurking and seeing what's going on. But everybody is welcome to come and chat. Build your profile. And it's a lot of fun. And Jess is very sexually suggestive.
Sorry.
And Adam tries very hard to make sure that we're feeling professional, which is exactly what Adam does, and I love that. But anyway, so Fuller House, dude. Back to Fuller House.
Wait, so you watched Full House back in the day, back on TGIF?
Yeah.
Well, I didn't. I watched it in reruns with my kid because Spinari loved Full House. We have the box sets here, even.
Yeah.
And I was really excited that this was actually going to happen. And was going to be a good thing. And come to find out that, like, the adults in Full House, Uncle Joey.
Yeah.
Uncle
Dave
Jesse,
Cooley, Dave Milsen, and Bob Saget.
They're not even on it, really.
Oh.
It's really
Are
the two girls
really?
And that Kimmy friend.
Kimmy, yeah.
Kimmy.
And
occasionally,
I hated
Kimmy,
Kimmy
so much.
Yeah. She always reminds me of a girl, like, in second grade that smelled like pee. Every time I saw her on that show, I was like,
pee.
So they're all there.
So they're there to like start the show, kick it off, and then it becomes what, like a teenage show? Kind of like
they're my age, dude. They're,
my gosh. Well, you're a teenager to me.
Yes, but, thank you. Thank you.
No, but I mean, like, does it center around like DJ's kids?
That I don't know because it's not out yet. But again, the report after report
right.
is Fuller House is just going to blow. It's just going to suck so bad.
I think it's supposed to center around DJ's kids, and then her sister and her friend are helping her raise the kids, much like
they keep saying
like
it's
Stephanie
Full House
is like the Uncle Jesse type.
Right, yeah,
they're saying it's Full House in reverse, and occasionally like David Coulier.
Yes.
I know
what the?
That was fast.
God.
That cat was fast as lightning. David Coulier will walk into the scene in the background and do like, you know,
cut it out.
Oh, I'm Bullwinkle.
Yeah.
And then he'll wander off and that's it. They're really not even, the three main guys are really not even in it.
Wow.
I'm so bummed.
I watched the trailer and I was kind of embarrassed to be sitting there watching it and not laughing. It actually made me sad. Like they all call Michelle and they go, how rude. Wait, no, what do they say? It doesn't even matter. Oh, you got it, dude. And I was like, that was pathetic.
Yeah.
Like, one-liners should stay in the 90s where they belong.
Well, I think everybody was kind of hoping for that warm security blanket kind of feel.
Yeah.
Like, oh, it would be like if Cheers made a reunion and everybody goes, oh, we want kind of that same vibe, that same feel.
It almost feels like they're trying to, like, overdo the one-liners. Like, I'd be fine with it popping up once in a while. Like, remember when you said that stupid thing all the time?
Yeah.
But it was like constant.
There are predictions.
Go back to the 90s.
Well, and that's one of the things that they're complaining about is that they're almost trying too hard to make it feel like that.
Right.
Where if they were to just make it contemporary, it would probably have that vibe anyway because of the actors that are there. But they're saying that it probably won't even make it out of the pilot. Like, they may not even... They may air the pilot, and that'll be it, kind of a thing.
Wait, aren't they, like, airing it on Netflix?
Yeah, it's on Netflix.
Is that what it is?
So they're going to put out all the episodes, probably, from the season.
Okay.
Do you know what's weird?
The report
Netflix
I read
does.
Where they said they couldn't make it out of the pilot, that may have been an individual saying, I couldn't watch more than the pilot. may have been one, and I may have misread that.
Netflix is being kind of weird about their shows, and I guess it's more telling to, like, because no one knows their ratings except for them, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
so there are certain shows like House of Cards or Orange is the New Black or Daredevil that will already get a second season or a third season or whatever before our season's over.
But I'm just saying.
But then they have other shows where they're like, yeah, we're bringing it back. And everyone's like, I love Netflix. And it's one season and one season only. And they just kind of go, yeah, we hope to bring Arrested Development back.
That's what I was going to bring
sometime
up.
Sometime in the future.
Arrested Development was terrible.
No, that garbage. Was not okay.
And I don't even know that. That, in my mind, I was such an Arrested Development fan. That redo they did it doesn't exist.
I used to watch the show all the way through each year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Since watching that fourth season, I can't watch it anymore.
Oh, wow.
It kind of ruined it.
What was it? The what was the episode where they were all in the teepee? Was that the Pop episode?
Yeah.
I believe so.
That's when I stopped. Mm. Yeah. Because each episode centered around a specific character.
Yes. And
I think that was like the third episode was all.
That we stopped. I said, nope, I'm stopping right there.
Yeah.
Tobias Funke is one of my favorite characters ever. I'm not even going to make it to the Tobias episode.
Yeah.
Because there's no way.
It was
no.
terrible.
It also,
you watched
like,
it all the way through?
No, I didn't. I didn't finish that season.
You didn't make it. Kenny, did you watch that all the way through?
I did.
Oh.
You poor thing.
Oh, Kenny.
No, I really regret it, actually.
With all the good TV that's on right now, I think people have no patience with investing in TV shows a certain way.
I don't think people like to watch TV as it comes out, or it just has to be on their terms.
Mm-hmm.
And even Netflix sometimes is too much to ask for.
You think, really? That's interesting.
I don't know.
But Netflix is too much to...
What do you mean by that?
Yeah, what do you mean?
I don't know. It's just maybe people watch one episode and then that's it. Like, obviously Netflix can see where their numbers are going to drop, whether it's from the first episode to the second or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. There are a lot of shows that I'm like, hey, that has promise on Netflix. Like, they're thinking about picking up Young Justice, the DC animated show, which everyone has been asking for a third season forever. And I think they pick up shows just so people sign on. And
they want that
whoever isn't a member of Netflix already signs on. And then they're like, okay, we're good. We made it. We made you happy for a season.
That could be it.
Yeah.
But I don't know. This is happening across TV. Like, X-Files just came back for 6 episodes.
Mm-hmm.
And it did have one of the best X-Files episodes I've seen.
Oh, really?
But on the whole, the season is not very good.
It's kind of weird what I have watched. I haven't really invested in it like you have.
Yeah.
Because Gillian Anderson is still doing her character on Hannibal a little bit.
Yes.
Where her character isn't the same. And David Duchovny, I think, has had a stroke.
Multiple.
I'm not quite sure because now he's just like, I don't understand.
No, they're like whispering.
Like, I can't understand
him. Yeah.
And that, I'm just like, I'm done.
Like, and he was already a mumbler
and
monotone on the original series, but now he's like 25 years older.
Like, he's afraid his dentures are going to fall out.
It seems like he's 40 years older.
Yeah.
And it's actually kind of hard to watch. Like, they seem old, and they're only in their like 50s.
I don't even know. I think Gillian Anderson's actually really young. I think she's still in her
40s. She's like 37.
I think she's pretty young. Anyway, I don't know.
I don't think Fox is bringing back that show. Like, they're like, hey, we'll bring it back for a season. Everyone's going to love it. Ratings are going to be huge. Moving on. You guys got your wish fulfillment, right?
Did people? Yeah. What were the ratings on it?
They were great to begin with, but there have been no words or concerns about a second revival.
I think cable TV series and these all-at-once series on Netflix, I think that really has changed the way people watch TV.
Yeah.
I can't... Well, look, first of all, I tried to start Game of Thrones 3 different times and couldn't make it past the pilot. Because, you know, pilots are always different. They're always weird. They're designed not to be a part of the series. They are designed to sell a series.
Right.
So the character dynamics are always different and everything. And it took me on my third try of starting Game of Thrones. I actually said, okay, I'm just going to make a commitment. If I'm going to sit down and watch a pilot, I'm going to promise myself I'm going to watch at least 3 episodes before I make up my mind. Because the pilot is just not fair.
Right.
Yeah.
To the show. And once I was 3 episodes into Game of Thrones, I was like, yeah, I'm hooked. There's a lot of shows that I go through that are like that.
Go ahead.
I think a lot of people binge watch nowadays too. Like, I have shows that are coming out that I haven't watched recent episodes of because I prefer to watch them in bulk.
Well, and that's what I was going to say. I will wait until there's at least 3 episodes so I can binge them before. I'm not going to watch them one at a time. And that's hard with, like, Better Call Saul and Walking Dead.
Because then you get to the end and you're like, now I have to wait a week.
Now I've got to wait a whole week.
We don't want to wait a week anymore.
No.
I remember watching Lost back in its heyday, mm-hmm. and it was like an episode of Lost would just would end, and it'd be like polar bears, and then it'd be like Lost, and I'd be like, oh man, that episode was so freaking cool. So many questions. It's like in 4 weeks, the next episode of Lost is
yeah.
like,
no!
Like yeah. what?
What just happened?
You mean I can't rent these on DVD? Because you could rent yeah. movies. Like that.
And you know, since we're on the TV thing here, yeah. can I take kind of a side road here really quick?
Yeah.
I have a buddy, a friend of mine, and I've got to give him props. I've got to say thank you. He's an actor. His name's Bart Johnson. You guys know who Bart Johnson is?
No.
He's been in a bunch of different TV shows. He is most known. He's most known to me as being the guy. We're always up for the same parts. He and I are always up for the same parts, and we have kind of a running tally. And he's kicking my ass. Can I just say? He is most known for being Zac Efron's dad in High School Musical.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's Bart. He's been in a bunch of different shows. He was on the TV show Las Vegas with Josh Duhamel and Jimmy Caan.
Love that show.
James Caan. Did you ever watch that show?
You love Las Vegas?
Yeah.
You're the weirdest kid I've ever
met. It was like the Love Boat in a casino was basically what it was.
Pretty much, yeah.
Are you serious?
It's Vegas, dude. It's me.
It filmed at the Mandalay Bay for the first couple of seasons, and they were actually filming in a casino, which was very cool and somewhat unprecedented. But I loved that show. Well, my good friend Bart Johnson, whose wife is the lovely Robin Lively, who was on a bunch of Disney shows, and he is the brother-in-law to Blake Lively, who we all know, who may or may not have had the easiest life I've ever seen.
Right.
Anyway, no, Blake's very cool. I love her dearly. But Bart sent me some. He goes, I've had this stuff for years, and I've got to send you a package out. I've got to send this to you. And I was thinking, well, I wonder if I lent him some wardrobe for something, because we shared a trailer a lot on films that we did. And I said, I wonder if he's just got some stuff from mine or something from Sundance that he borrowed, or what is it? Well, he gave me a package, and in it is a bunch of props from the TV show Las Vegas.
Oh, okay.
A bunch of casino chips and a bunch of gambling tags and a whole bunch of different real screen-used props from the TV show Las Vegas.
Yeah.
So, Bart, you know, I love you, man. Thank you so much for all the Las Vegas props. That's just the coolest thing ever.
Did he give you a pair of Josh Duhamel's boxers or anything?
No.
I hate Josh Duhamel.
No.
You hate Josh Duhamel?
He likes it. No, I said Chugga likes him.
I'm
take it easy.
I am totally gay for Josh Duhamel. He's number one on my dude list.
He's probably in my top 10 at least.
Oh, yeah.
Number one?
Yeah. Even over Henry Cavill, yeah.
What?
Oh, I love Josh Duhamel. Are you kidding me? What I wouldn't give to look like that dude for 10 seconds, I would destroy the planet. If I look like Josh Duhamel for 10, I would use that power for pure evil.
Josh Duhamel is like the semi-pretty Timothy Oliphant, you know, from Justified.
Timothy Oliphant's a pretty damn good-looking man, too.
Giant teeth.
But Josh Duhamel's like Boy Next Door, like, you know, not the super, like,
Boy
oh my
next
gosh,
door.
You can't have him. Like he's like he's
yeah,
pretty,
like Henry Cavill.
But still,
can't have him.
But still obtainable.
Here's
what's happened.
Do you guys know how Josh Duhamel got famous?
No,
I don't know if you guys know this. He was in dental school to be a dentist. He was studying to be a dentist, and was offered a part by one of the patients that came in to go do a runway model thing. One of those runway model things. He was in Iowa. And they were bringing in other models at the time that he was going to be working with, one of which was a young man named Ashton Kutcher.
Okay.
And they became instant rivals. Ashton Kutcher and Josh Duhamel became instant, like the two guys in Zoolander.
Right.
They were. And so it became kind of a competitive, they were friendly, but it was still a rivalry kind of thing. And then the next thing you know, Josh Duhamel's like, well, if Ashton Kutcher can go to Hollywood, I'm going to Hollywood. And then he got a part on a soap opera.
Yeah, he did a soap opera.
Yeah, yeah, and I think he got work before Ashton Kutcher did. And the rest is history. But it was really a rivalry, a runway model rivalry between him and Ashton Kutcher.
That's awesome.
Yeah, isn't that
funny? I love it so much.
Can you tell me more about this unauthorized biography?
Go!
Did she get you? Did she get your peen? I think she did.
You're a dick.
He immediately grabbed his left nut.
I thought there was like a spider or something. He's like, Chikisha!
So did you just, it wasn't your nut? You just grabbed your nut like
there was
as,
no
as a reflex? You
there,
grabbed your peen as a reflex?
It was just my Matrix-like speed. My spidey sense.
You did do that kind of Keanu laying back.
I did. Which would then actually leave me more open than anything. So it's not super safe. I hate you, Jess. Scoop back.
No.
She's working you. She's a dick. Working you this day. Anyway, okay, so we're kind of talking about TV, although we didn't really plan it that way.
Right, and I will say that, okay, when I'm watching Netflix,
yeah,
there are times where I'm like, hey, I should watch this. It's been in my queue forever.
Uh-huh.
And then I'm like, no, I'm kind of busy doing other stuff or writing a review. I'm going to watch a show I really don't like. And so I consistently watch or binge watch shows that I don't care for.
Oh, that's interesting.
While you do stuff?
Like, I wonder how many people like you.
Really?
Yes. But that's I watch the majority of my watching is stuff that I don't care about.
Hold on, hold on a second. Is this because you don't have regular cable? Do you just do internet TV?
I just do internet TV.
Okay, that would explain it, because you just want some kind of ancillary noise on it.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
Well, I do that too, because I just have internet TV. But I'll usually put on like Buffy, or like today I put on 90s X-Men, just kind of have background that I already know all the lines and what's happening.
Yeah.
So I don't have to follow along.
But for me, it's
now I don't have to watch stupid things that I hate.
Yeah, for me, it's like, I know I would never be able to sit and watch Gotham, like with two eyes the whole time. But having it on in the background while I write a movie review or whatever is just fine.
I don't get Gotham. I don't get it.
Kind of the worst.
People
love it. I haven't
even
watched it yet.
Oh, no. People love this.
It's kind of
Commissioner Gordon as a young man, and he is the focus of Gotham.
Eh. Yes.
And Batman is... Bruce Wayne is around, but he's like 8.
Yeah.
And it's right after his parents have been killed.
You don't know anything about this show?
Well, I've not tried watching it.
No. In like, early on, they're trying to make it a mafia show or mob show, and I wish they kind of did more. Because I like the kid, Ben McKenzie, who plays... Gordon, he's actually pretty good. Mm-hmm. Everyone around him is garbage, and they're always like, "Hey, this guy who's helping the cops, he always tells riddles. I wonder who this guy walks with a limp
and has funny hands. He must be the Penguin. Yeah.
This girl,
little Ivy, like he's got Big Bird's fingers.
No, it's like every Batman villain is there and is about 10 to 15 years older than Bruce, except for Catwoman, Catgirl, whatever." But they're all there, except for there's no Batman. So I'm like, what's the point?
Well, I know a lot of people love it. A lot of people love it. I couldn't stick with it. I watched, I think, 5 or 6 episodes and went...
I don't even think we made it that far. I think it was 2 or 3.
Yeah, I couldn't... I just am not down with it.
The first episode was okay, and then...
This is what my fear is, that this is what Suicide Squad is going to be. Because Jada Pinkett Smith plays the crime boss in Gotham. And every scene, she's like, we're going to save the world.
Stop it.
Yeah.
She's like, we're going to destroy the world.
I'm a crime boss.
No, and I think
jiggy.
I think Batman excels, especially in the graphic novels, when it's about the mafia or the mob.
Right.
But this show does not pull it off.
Mm-mm.
It is.
I'm surprised it's still on. Honestly, that and Arrow are two shows that I just think are shit, and I can't believe they're still
Arrow
on.
Arrow is another background show that I've watched every season available.
That's one of your binging shows?
That I'm like, hey, I'll watch it in the background. But a show
I liked Arrow all right at first, and then I just stopped watching.
The superhero show I purposely watch with both eyes is The Flash.
Okay, now we went to start that, and I thought I asked you if it was any good, and I could have sworn that you told me no.
No, I'm totally
was it
sure.
You, Jess?
I said it's okay. You prefer Jessica Jones.
Kenny, you told us that you didn't like it.
No, well, I may have been in the Arrow-hating phase and then kind of crossing over.
Because I heard from so many people that The Flash is great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I actually quite like it. For CW, it's tier 1, so that means it's like a tier 2 show anywhere else.
Mm-hmm. Everything on CW is like a half step above the next generation of the Mickey Mouse Club.
Right. They're all pretty.
Every show.
Really bad.
I'm a Supernatural girl.
No, Supernatural, tier 1 CW. Tier 2 anywhere else.
And let's be honest, Jess. There's a star of Supernatural who I'm really good friends with, who I've worked with in film.
Yeah.
Please tell me it's Jensen Ackles.
No.
Not that I'm fangirling over here.
Jared Padalecki?
It's Alona Tal.
Oh, okay. Ooh, yeah. Also love
her. She's actually like 30 in real life. But
she's on my list.
What did I work with? Oh,
she's my number one.
Is she really Alona Tal?
She really is.
I'm telling her.
True
that. I'm
story.
So telling
okay.
her.
Okay. That's fine.
Cool thing about Alona Tal, she was actually in the Israeli army. She's Israeli. A lot of people don't know this, and she served in the army for Israel. Yeah.
And that's why she's so badass.
You know who else served in the Israeli army? Gal Gadot. Wonder Woman.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Really?
I'm going to go check out the Israeli army.
Everybody has to. When you live in Israel, everybody has to for 2 years. It's like a Mormon mission.
Okay. Oh,
really?
So everybody, once you get to a certain age, I think it's 18, you must serve in the Israeli military for 2 years. You have no choice. It's required. Anyway, so Alona Tao, but what did I work with her on? Kids movies. That's what I did.
Right.
And that's what the CW is. It's all like, you know, really young demo.
The Flash is a young demo, but it kind of knows what it is. Arrow is just like, I'm so serious and I'm Batman light, you know, but,
yeah.
But the Flash seriously is like, hey, this is kind of a dumb idea. I'm going to save the world every episode by running. Let's have some fun with it.
It's kind of an interesting, it's a horribly bad idea, but yeah. It's kind of interesting.
No,
it's a horribly bad idea because he's going to save the world from running and his name is Barry.
His name is Barry.
Which is also kind of a problem
but
for me.
But it actually knows what it is though, because he has like a sidekick kid who is just in the, you know, he's in the lab, and then there's like some guy who can control the weather and he's like, huh, what should we call him? And because the Flash's rogues gallery generally sucks in the comics,
yeah,
and the names suck, they call him that in the show and he goes, let's call him Weather Wizard. That sounds stupid. And they're like, yep, sticking.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
Or like, hey, that's a yellow.
So they intentionally make the names cheesy
yeah,
and
that's
bad
yeah.
to make fun of them.
That guy's a really big shark, man. King Shark.
Okay.
Captain Cold. I mean, no.
Now, for the record, I've got to say, for the record, my number two superhero of all time is The Flash.
I dig
Batman the Flash. And The Flash are my two. And then Wolverine. Those are my 1, 2, and 3.
Okay.
And it's a close between 2 and 3. It's close. Sometimes it's Wolverine, you know, it just depends on how much I've had to drink. You know what I'm saying? but I love The Flash. I love the comics. I've always loved the comics. But I was afraid to start it because I could have sworn that you both said it sucked. So I'm going to go back and watch
it. I said it was okay. I said I prefer Jessica Jones. That's all I said.
When you see Mark Hamill in the first season, you're going to be very happy.
Cool.
Because he used to play the Trickster in the 1994 Flash.
Yeah.
I don't know if you remember that one. It was just one season.
Yep.
And actually, the guy who plays the Flash in that 94 season, he's the Flash's dad now.
Oh, now see, that's cool.
Yeah.
And Mark Hamill loves that role, the Trickster. He loves it.
Yes.
He almost didn't come back as Luke Skywalker because of the Trickster role.
Really?
What?
No, that's a true story. He says, I'm not going to take this unless you can work around me playing the Trickster.
What?
No, that's no joke.
They're like, here's $19 million.
I don't know how much they paid him. That's what he's saying. But they said, okay, look, here's the thing. We're going to do this. We're going to let you cut your beard. We're going to let you do all the stuff that you have to do to play Trickster. But you've got to have the beard back and the hair back within a certain amount of time, or we're just going to have to work something out. We're going to have to figure this out.
Yeah, because he does shape for the show.
Yeah, for Trickster, he does. And so, and again, there may be some things that I'm getting wrong here, and I'm sure fans are going to let me know, and that's awesome. Please do.
Fact checkers.
Please, because I'm by no means the authority. I'm just telling you what I've read. But from what I understand, the Flash people were like, hell yeah, that's fine. Anything that we can do to keep him.
Oh, absolutely.
And so they moved their whole schedule so that Mark Hamill could still do Luke Skywalker and get his hair grown back and everything at times. So I haven't seen it, but I'm going to go watch it now that you're saying it's good. I've been looking for a good show because TV's been kind of weak, and now it's finally getting started again. The Walking Dead is awesome. I think this is going to be their best 0.5 season yet.
I agree.
This whole season has been phenomenal.
It's all been ruined for me. I haven't even seen it yet.
Why was it ruined?
Sorry.
Did Spinari ruin it? Spinari didn't ruin it.
We kind of ruined it. We both did. You and I did.
Well, no, he said it was ruined before then.
Oh.
Yeah, but he's like, oh, is it ruined? Let me tell you everything that happened.
Oh, I'm sorry. You didn't want to know?
It's like, hey, you have an itch? Let me give you a mile.
I tell you spoilers all the time.
Yeah. No, you tell everyone spoilers on this show.
That's pretty true.
Much. Oftentimes I'm like, no.
Yeah, I should stop then. Let me tell you about Carl's eye.
Stop it. I haven't even seen the episode.
Yeah. All Coral. I can say is that was a blowout. It's a good thing that one of those hillbillies from Deliverance wasn't there, or there would have been a problem.
Ooh, stop it.
Anyway, The Walking Dead's awesome. It's great. I love that show.
Anything else you want to ruin?
Better Call. Do you want to talk about Better
Call? No. I haven't seen the first season. Okay. That's what I'm waiting to binge.
Better Call Saul is probably, I would say, one of the top two shows on TV.
Really?
Oh, dude.
Personally, I like it better than Breaking Bad.
Shut your mouth.
I really do.
It's so good.
No.
Vince Gilligan is a genius. The writer of Better Call Saul. It's a spinoff. And have you ever noticed with TV how when they do a spinoff show, they always take one of the side characters? It's never like MASH ends and then Hawkeye gets his own show.
Right.
Yeah.
Or Cheers ends and Sam Malone gets his own show. It's Frasier instead.
Yes.
It's always a side character. Well,
Joey from, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So Saul Goodman. Saul Good, man. Is the main character of this show.
Yes.
But some of the characters from Breaking Bad are in this show. And it's a prequel to Breaking Bad. It happens before the stuff happens in Breaking Bad.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't know that. You figure it out like first episode right at the beginning.
Yeah.
So I'm not giving anything away, but you've got to go watch it.
I'm waiting to binge.
There's a full season.
I know, but I just haven't started. I'm watching Gotham, for Pete's sake.
Don't. Why? Just stop it.
I don't know. You know what show I do kind of like watching? And I'm going to give you my man card. Like, Jess wouldn't have anything to kick as soon as I said say this.
Mm-hmm.
Last night, I'm watching The Bachelor. And,
Wow.
And it's not on purpose. It's just on TV.
Not on purpose.
And I'm like...
But Kenny schedules his life around it.
Well, it's Monday night, 7 to 9. So anyways...
Look, you as a dad... You're a dad of two young girls.
Right.
You are the father of two young girls.
Okay, where are you going with this?
You have one job in your life, Kenny.
Yeah.
The only job you have in your life is to keep those girls off that show. That's the only job you have to not have a daughter that winds up on The Bachelor.
I agree.
I know women that have been contestants on The Bachelor. So they're crazy.
I'll be able to coach them if they are on The Bachelor because I've seen at least a dozen episodes. No, I'm watching
He's like, let me tell you how not to win but still get selected to be the next Bachelorette.
Right.
Because that's the real winner there.
Seriously...
Want a rose? Be a hoe. It's that simple.
I'm watching last night for some reason. Like, honestly, it was just on. And then it was like, the guy goes, it was like hometown dates. And so the bachelor goes to meet the girl's family. And the girl's family is like giving them the stink eye. And the brothers are being way too affectionate with their sister. And I'm like, I'm seriously in there like, oh.
Was it the Duggars?
Basically, no. And I'm like, I'm like, we got some red flags here, people. We got some red flags.
It's the Duggars.
Like, I want to do a color commentary for every episode of The Bachelor. Because I'm like, oh, the editors, look what they did there. You know, the producers have like so have their hands in this.
Because, you know what we could do is we could riff track it where we tell everybody to turn on Podbash when The Bachelor comes on.
That would be
on.
Awesome.
If people want to watch The Bachelor with me, I would do a riff track.
And we comment to it?
Because it is... The reason that show's been on for, well, I guess like a dozen years, probably it's like 25th season now.
It is the most morally bankrupt show on TV.
It's just because it's cheap fun. Like, every time Chris Harrison, the host, is like, and now for the most controversial season of The Bachelor yet. And he says that every single time. And it makes me happy. I don't watch it all the time. I just want to put that out there. But when I do, I hate myself for liking it.
You should... Listen, I've had a couple of people in my life that have revealed their love for The Bachelor.
It's not love?
And they've never retained their credibility for long with me or with anyone else.
Can we cut that out of the show then?
I think you know this story. Art Alexakis of Everclear was in my studio one day, and he's like, yo, can I talk to you for a second? Just come out in the hall, Lynn. I want to talk to you for a second. I've known Art for, I don't know, 20 years. So I go outside. I'm like, what's going on? What's the problem? He goes, hey, man, you still doing TV and stuff? And I'm like, well, not really, because I can't get hired, but I would if I could.
Yeah.
Why? What's going on? Well, I might need a little bit of coaching, because I think I'm gonna try and be The Bachelor.
Wait. What?
Lanky Art Alexakis, or whatever he says.
Heroin addict.
Right.
Art Alexakis, yeah. And he was like 55 at the time. I'm going to be on The Bachelor. There is something about this show that makes people insane. Whether you're watching it, whether you're on it, whether you are trying to get on it,
it
makes you crazy.
I kind of like watching it because I like the whole theory of reality TV. Because I like being like, how manufactured can this get and how much can we keep buying it? Like, I just, you know, I've had to watch a lot of reality TV in the past 10 years and I just go, holy cow. How is this still on, and how do people... Yeah.
I don't watch reality. I do watch reality TV, but I watch different reality TV. Like American Pickers.
Oh,
and
man.
How It's Made.
I love that. Oh, How It's Made?
And Mythbusters. Which, by the way, is my favorite show on TV.
Same with me. All time. All time
favorite shows. Yeah.
Mythbusters?
Oh, I love it. I can't get enough of it. Seriously, I love that show.
And Jess talks so much crap on my Mythbusters.
Their science is flawed.
A lot of times it is, but yeah. It's fun to kind of poo-poo them while you're watching them burn their hair off and stuff.
Just saying, if I have any like Bachelor fans out there,
we're not talking about The Bachelor. We must stop.
Kenny, my roommates always wanted to watch The Bachelor, and I would leave every single time.
Yes!
So...
No, it's for the best. Just... It's like a drug. It's...
So
it's
are you like, serious? You're seriously doing this?
It's like Dr. Pepper.
This
girl's been addicted to Dr. Pepper.
This isn't something you're doing for the show. You're seriously doing this?
I'm half serious, half do... You know.
I'm just shutting his mic off.
No, it's... I don't watch TV like when it's on, but because, you know, I'm hanging out with the kids, TV's on, I'm like, oh, this show, and then I sit down and I go, oh, don't trust her. She's crazy.
My favorite part of the show... Because it's ABC, it's Disney, so they've got to have that synergy in that EEO, is when you get, you know, this really good-looking white guy, and they always bring out, you know, some lady straight off of the plane from Ethiopia. They just bring her right up, put a dress on her, and I'm like, she's gone. And like, you know, she's not sticking around when you've got like a Barbie doll standing next to her.
Yeah.
I saw like a woman from Ethiopia make it to like the second week after rose ceremony, and I was like... She looks just as surprised as anyone could be on this show to make it past that first week.
She was just eating a bowl of rice right before they put her on the stage.
It is so white friendly.
Oh, it's the whitest show on TV.
It is the whitest show on TV.
That's one of the reasons that it's probably so popular here. It's the whitest show on TV.
Can I tell you my favorite reality TV show that was ever on?
I'm so scared right now, dude.
It was called Beauty and the Geek. It didn't last long. But it was awesome. They would pair up like really hot chicks with really great geeky guys, and then they would give them like competition. So like the guys would have to go and have a makeover and then try and get girls' numbers, and then the girls would have to try and build a rocket.
What?
It was just like stuff like that. So the girls would have to do geeky things and the guys would have to do like not geeky things. It was kind of fun.
It sounds like a great idea.
It was
honestly,
fun, but
it didn't last more than
a season because no one cared. But
seriously,
it was a million times better than The Bachelor.
They take a chick. They take a chick who looks like the chief pirate in Captain Phillips. Okay.
We the captain now.
Look at me. I'm the captain now. Give me a rose. Bachelor, look at me.
Oh, I'm picturing that dude in a sequin dress.
Yeah, with like a glass of champagne.
Yeah, and he's crying because he's like, so-and-so's not here for the right reason. Why is he Jamaican?
Why won't Travis take a look at me?
This is not okay. This is not okay.
I always think to myself, what the hell is going on? Did they not get enough people? Because, you know, that chick is toast. Like, right first episode. They're going to get rid of her as fast.
Like, I'm Travis, and I like Vanessa.
Yeah.
Like the whitest girl here.
Yeah, who's like a medical assistant, and she's been in Playboy 15 times. Oh, look at me, Travis. I'm the winner now. Telling you, it's the most messed up show. It's the most morally bankrupt show on
TV. I really
think
this show would be far more entertaining if like they had a black bachelor. Like, I'm not even kidding you.
That's what I'm saying.
It would be phenomenal.
Get some diversity.
Right.
Because it's just, you know.
Because everyone is just so carbon copy.
I am the most politically incorrect person
you'll
ever meet.
As experienced,
I kind of rejoice
in
it. I really don't offer any apologies to it. It's all in the interest of comedy. But in truth, that is seriously probably the most racist show on TV. And I'm not a race card playing guy. But if you look at it, it's like, oh, the black chick's gone, like day one.
Yeah.
You know, oh, the Chinese chick or whatever she is, she's gone day one. It's only the hot blonde girls with the big boobies.
Yep.
They're the only ones. Wait, I should love this show.
Hey.
Why am I like...
Chunga. Can I come over next Monday? We can watch. We can have
Dude, yeah. Now I'm starting to see your wisdom.
We're actually getting the fantasy suites next week. Yeah, okay. So.
All right.
Can I join?
Yeah. We'll make brackets.
Okay, cool.
Let's make brackets.
Oh, we totally should.
Jess, you want in?
All right.
$5. We're doing brackets.
All right.
Yeah.
How about this?
Seriously, let's do this.
I feel like I've corrupted you guys, so I think we should stop talking about this right now.
Yeah, because we're going to do this.
But when the next season starts, I'll make sure to make it a thing.
Hey, Lupita, Lupita Nyong'o,
right?
You're gone. You're gone, Lupita.
No. Next season's Bachelorette, because they alternate.
Oh, yeah. See? Jess watches this show.
No, I'm not watching
Because
dudes.
My roommates made me.
I'm not watching a sausage fest. There's no way. I'm there for the big fake boobies. That's the only reason
I'm there,
right?
I'll watch the sausage fest.
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
I am so sorry.
Yeah, thanks,
hey,
man, for ruining us.
I'll be back. I'm going to go find my credibility real quick, if that's okay.
See that?
See? Nothing to kick anymore, Jess. I'm like, not going to hurt.
All right. So did you see, what else are we talking about?
Want to mention some quick movie news because this is like brand new. But Batman v Superman, Dawn of Justice, the MPAA rated what they released for the Blu-ray.
What they submitted.
Because there's a theatrical cut. And thankfully, I love when this happens because I'm a film geek. Yeah. There is a director's cut.
Right.
Oh, they're doing a director's cut on Blu-ray.
Which you don't see that much anymore.
No, it costs a lot of money to produce all that stuff. Yeah.
Which means that, granted, the studio stepped in and said, hey, Zack Snyder, rein it in a little bit. We're going to cut a good 20 minutes from what you have. Mm-hmm. Release it for the Blu-ray. Because the Blu-ray is rated R.
Really?
Yeah.
And I will tell you that there is a lot of the internet who kind of already wants to crap on DC, who's saying, of course it is. Deadpool makes this much money, and so of course it's rated R. I mean, the fact of the matter is,
I've always maintained any Batman should be rated R.
We could all here talk about Batman stories that are rated R.
The Dark Knight, that whole graphic novel.
Jason Todd.
Jason Todd, man.
Killing Joke.
I have those. I have the Death in the Family comic series. I'm a proud owner of that series. And it is R-rated all the way.
Yeah, Batman is R-rated. Actually, everyone thought Nolan's films after Batman Begins were going to be R-rated,
mm-hmm.
but he's kind of the mentality, I want more people to see it,
mm-hmm.
not just for the money, but just I want general audience to see my movie.
I bet the studio came to him and said, look, we get Final Cut. And he said, no, you don't. And he said, yeah, we get Final Cut, but I'll tell you what, if you give us Final Cut and don't bitch about it, we'll let you do a director's
for
cut.
Snyder.
For
Snyder?
Yeah.
Right.
I bet it happened before they even rolled one frame of film.
Okay.
I bet they gave him that option just to secure him and sign
So
him.
I'm honestly thinking it has to do with Batman specifically because it says for violence.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently the first half of this movie is all about Bruce Wayne. Like, it's going to tell the movie in parts. And so we're going to see Bruce Wayne through flashbacks. Unfortunately, we're going to see the whole parents getting killed again.
Why?
Like
we've seen it a bit.
I know, it drives me crazy.
We don't need to see
but
it again.
But I think we're going to see some Jason Todd stuff go down in the deleted scenes.
Man, I hope.
Because I think that's going to lead into the solo Batman
because
movie.
Because he had what could be assumed as Jason Todd's costume.
I think we need to take a
in
minute.
The trailer.
For people who don't know.
We're going pretty deep doctrine here.
For people who don't know, if you don't know us, Kenny and myself specifically, I'm a Batman, lifelong Batman fanatic with the comics. All the graphic novels, all the comics, all that stuff. I'm nuts for it.
Right.
I don't really talk about it a lot because I'm kind of ashamed of it.
But shouldn't be. It's Batman.
But I love it. Yeah. Do you follow Batman? You're not a Batman person.
Oh, I love Batman.
Yeah, Jess knows plenty about Batman.
Okay.
She's an X-Men girl, but sure, Batman knowledge is
okay, I didn't know for sure.
It's X-Men than Batman for me.
Right.
So the reason I tell all of you this is because it's really easy for us to get into the weeds and lose track of the fact that you have no idea what the hell we're talking about.
Hugo Strange.
So Jason Todd, so that you guys know this, is Robin number 2. Robin, Batman and Robin, the very first one is a guy named Dick Grayson.
Yes.
They had a little bit of a falling out, Bruce Wayne and Dick Grayson. They had a falling out, and Dick Grayson said, you know what, I'm going to go be my own superhero. Adios. I'm out the door.
I'm going to be Nightwing.
That's why Kenny's Nightwing in my phone.
And I love Nightwing, so I'm totally okay with that.
Yeah.
And I love the cartoon that Neil Patrick Harris played Nightwing. It's on Netflix, I think. Batman. It was awesome.
So,
I think they go into some of the Jason Todd stuff, too, in that one.
So Jason Todd comes in after Dick Grayson leaves in a similar kind of scenario where Bruce Wayne says, okay, I'm going to help this kid out. And he's about as different from Dick Grayson as you can get.
Yes.
Yeah.
He's a totally different guy. He is his own man. He's his own kid. But Bruce Wayne loves this guy. Loves him dearly. And the Joker kills him.
So
but
just
there
to give
was
a little,
in
a very horrifying,
to give
a
little bit of background, just for everyone out there, because this is the kind of, you know, facts that I love.
And that's the death in the family series is the Joker killing Robin.
In the 80s, in the comics, I mean, just as they kind of do every decade to spice things up with both Marvel and DC, and that's kind of why they start killing off characters now and that sort
right.
of thing,
yeah. right.
to get more sales. Well, DC knew that Jason Todd, the second Robin, was not popular among fans.
They didn't like him. I liked him just fine, but they didn't like him.
He's kind of whiny. He's just kind of like really immature. And so they said, hey, how about we do this as a joke? They weren't even fully behind this idea. At the end of this one issue of Batman, we're going to say, hey, DC fans, here is a survey. Check yes, check no. Please mail this in.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want Robin to die?
And I did. I did the survey. I was living in Hawaii at the time. Me and my roommate, Jason Soom, may he rest in peace. We did this, and we both said, no, we don't want Jason Todd to die. I voted against it.
Well, you were very much in the minority.
Like I totally was. Yeah.
They put this in your hands. Death didn't happen all that much.
Yeah.
Right.
I think maybe Supergirl died in around that time, and it was a big, big deal.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, people said yes, and DC's like, oh, crap. We have to kill Robin. And so, like you said, in Death of the Family, in a very awful way, Joker beats him to death with a crowbar.
And it's
super brutal.
It's awful.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then he, you know, you see the Joker, I mean, I'm almost at a loss for words at just how maniacally evil this character becomes in this series. I haven't looked at the Joker same. Because before that, it was like Cesar Romero, and it was corny and cheesy. But the Death in the Family series, if you get a chance to find copies of this or find them online or whatever, if you can read these, reissues or whatever, go read them because they're so dark and so gruesome and so hard to read as far as texture and content goes. You'll have kind of a new respect for DC Comics and Batman and the Joker and the Robin character.
It is actually a more defining aspect of Batman in like the past 25 years than the death of his parents.
Yeah.
Because obviously that made him become Batman and, you know, do his thing.
Right.
But he is now haunted by Jason Todd.
Yeah.
And actually...
Well, and the way the Joker toys with Batman the whole way through.
If you need to go play Arkham Knight, the PS4 Xbox One game, it retells the story in a very, very cool way.
Oh, cool.
Oh, I didn't know that, actually.
Neither did I.
It's very Jason Todd influenced. But actually, fans are saying, you know, Jared Leto, the look of his Joker is very controversial, right? He's got tattoos, whatever, and he's got this grill of metal teeth.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone's like, oh, okay, that's really lame.
He reminds me of the Joker in the Death in the Family.
But what people are saying is that is the Joker after Batman mangles him after Death in the Family. Because Batman goes to town on Joker's face.
Yeah.
I thought he was going to kill him. Out. I honestly thought that was going to be the twist in the comic series that Batman was going to kill the Joker. Yeah.
He's mincemeat after that. And so people are saying, he has fake teeth because Batman destroyed his face. I don't know if we're going to see that, but...
Well, that's going to make me really like this movie if what you're saying is true. Suicide Squad's going to be awesome. Batman versus Superman's
going to
be awesome.
What we're going to get is a tease in both Suicide Squad and Batman v Superman about the Joker's influence on Batman.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we're going to have to wait another 2 to 3 years for the solo story.
Well, I hope it's Ben Affleck again because everything that I've seen of Ben Affleck proved me right. He looks fantastic as Batman. The fight scenes I've seen look incredible. I think he's the best looking, the most true Batman we've had. I think he's better than Christian Bale. I think he's better than Clooney. You know, I said for a long time that Clooney was the best Batman.
Yeah, you were always on the Clooney camp, and I don't know.
You hated Clooney?
I hate
Clooney. Listen, from an appearance and just kind of
he
grace
looks like a rich
demeanor,
playboy. That's all I'm going to give him, though.
That I'm not talking about the suit with the nipples and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
But I'm saying George Clooney is the guy that best fit that character until Ben Affleck came along, and he's perfect.
I'm
perfect.
We'll find out. I won't say anything yet.
It's cool, man.
Okay.
I'm kind of, you know, I was kind of, if you go back and listen to the other podcasts, I was very much not in that camp for this movie. I was like, nah, this is going to suck. I'm not down with it. Yeah. I'm afraid it's not going to be any good. But you just telling me that with the Joker's teeth and everything, that makes me go, okay, this is... If they're going to pull on the Jason Todd thing, I'm so into this already.
We'll see. I'm kind of just hoping.
Me but, too. Yeah.
You know.
If all it right. doesn't, I'm right back in the it sucks camp.
Right. Like, well, because I know that you well before many others felt the exhaustion of the superhero craze
way before everybody else.
And I don't know if this movie will even restore any faith.
It was really, can I tell you, it was really the second Iron Man.
Yeah.
When that's when I was like, I've had enough. I've really, yeah. It was the second, it was the final Batman with Bane. And it was that second Iron Man where I said, okay, I'm all the way done with this.
Yes.
Give me the Hobbits. Give me some sci-fi, whatever. I don't want to watch this shit anymore. And I really haven't. Can I tell you, I've really completely turned it off. I watched The Avengers begrudgingly and hated every second of it. I did. I
How couldn't
about stand
this?
It.
We'll watch The Bachelor next week, and then we'll watch Avengers Age of Ultron, because that will be your own personal hell.
That'll be awful.
Yes.
That'll be a whole night
Jess
of hell.
Is like, I'll be there.
I totally will.
I don't know, man.
But no, it's kind of interesting. I will say that I don't think Deadpool affected Batman v Superman, because that's only for Blu-ray release. And honestly, I love stuff like that. Like when The Hobbit was rated R, the last one, the extended mm-hmm. one, I was overjoyed. Mm-hmm. Also, Jess, do you
also,
have something to say?
This is the one where Neil Patrick Harris played Nightwing. It's called Batman Under the Red Hood. So they actually go a lot into the Jason Todd story.
See,
and
yeah,
it's really awesome.
There's this whole thing that Jason Todd came back, or he wasn't actually killed, and I didn't really buy into that at all. And he becomes a character called Red Hood.
Yes,
which yeah. was a comic. It was a storyline that I didn't really like.
I'm okay with it because
you are okay with it.
He's basically the Punisher for the DC world.
I think
he just kills at will.
I think he redeemed himself for sucking so much as Robin. To be honest, as the.
Okay.
So,
yeah,
as the Red
that.
Hood,
okay.
Personally.
Also, the Wolverine 3, and I think this is directly related to Deadpool because it is filming right now.
Mm-hmm.
Wolverine Part 3 is going to be rated R.
Nice.
Yes.
So, and that's actually, Wolverine is kind of the character that needs it.
He should have been rated R the whole time.
Oh, yeah.
Like
yeah.
I said, there's a couple. Batman, Wolverine.
But Wolverine's so marketable. I wonder why, I guess.
You know what I think it is? This is I've said this before, if you haven't heard the other podcast, this is what I think it is. I think there's a desensitization that's happening with millennials and a little bit younger.
Okay.
Through music and through popular TV shows that are on cable. Game of Thrones is a prime example.
Yes.
Breaking Bad is another one of these examples where I think people are just seeing this really heavy, heavy content where you could never... You couldn't do that in film before.
No.
Yeah,
it's
true. And have it be even an R in a lot of those cases. You got midgets having sex on Game of Thrones. That's an NC-17, yeah. Man.
That's like bottom of the barrel.
No, I'm midgets. Just saying. I'm not saying it's bottom of the barrel. What I'm saying is that that's very shocking for your average audience
okay.
member to watch.
Right.
Look,
never mind the pussy that you see.
Jess!
Well...
Well,
why?
But just, that's like pizza.
I'm telling you.
That's like pizza. Even when it's bad, it's still awesome.
My gosh.
Okay? That's
really?
That's
really?
Look, are you offended? Are you offended by it?
Well, no.
Okay.
But I'm not saying I
dudes
like the
dudes are
bush.
Loving it. You're,
really?
Well, no. You know what? Can I just tell you? I think most of the time that's a wig. On Game of Thrones?
I cannot speak right now.
They're over there gluing on
like,
pubes.
I haven't seen things
don't
that hairy.
That.
I have not seen anything that hairy since Steve Austin fought the Sasquatch. Okay? Women don't grow. They just don't. They're like, it's evolution, dude. They don't grow like that anymore.
He's so red.
I'm watching that on Game of Thrones. I'm like, yeah, that's a fright wig. There's no way.
My goodness.
The only thing that's missing is a John 3:16 sign. So. That's like.
Do you think that's how they skirt any sort of like more severe rating? Because they're like, we're not really showing full frontal because they're basically wearing a toupee.
I think seriously, Jess and I have talked about this.
Yeah.
We've talked about this because when Cersei's making the walk and stuff like that, I'm like, that's a wig. They put a wig in a
I feel sick right now. I feel so sick.
Well, we've just earned ourselves another PG-15 rating.
Thanks, Jess.
Sorry.
No, it's true, though. It's like they put that wig there so you can't see like other parts. Am I wrong? Am
no,
I wrong?
No. Makes sense.
Don't talk.
OK. Seriously.
Don't say wig.
Actresses, they don't listen.
Boobs.
They've all had laser hair removal.
Is it a vig? Because it's a vagina wig?
Oh, yeah. My God.
No, there's a term for this. Like, they had this. No, back in the days of Jack the Ripper, I was making a Jack the Ripper movie a couple of years ago, and I had to research this. This is no joke. They actually tell you about this on the Jack the Ripper tour.
Okay.
When you go and you go down to the Whitechapel district and you go down to the like the lower what is it eastern lower east
where
side
all the
of
cheap
London.
Hookers are?
Well, there, down in the Whitechapel district by the Ten Bells pub where Jack the Ripper ran amok in the late 1800s, mm-hmm. It was a terrible part of London, but newsflash, it's still a terrible part of London. I've done extensive research. I've got all kinds of video I'd love to show you guys of me walking around. It's terrifying. It's really scary down there even still to go to that part of London. And I was crawling all through there, man. I went all through there. But one of the things that you learn was that because all the hookers there had crabs back in the 1800s, they had to shave all that off.
Yeah.
And to get rid of the crabs because they were so filthy. And then they would put on a wig. And I can't remember what the name, they had a name for it.
It
was
like
called
vig.
A wig.
Do I need to go to Google?
No.
I think you, of all people, should not, as my son, you are not allowed to go to
Google. Benari, are you kidding me? What would you even search?
What is a vagina
proper
wig
term
called?
Term for a vaginal wig.
No.
They have a name for it. And so anyway, so what I'm trying to say is that because of the research I did on this Jack the Ripper thing I was doing, when I saw all this Game of Thrones stuff, all this really hard, edgy Game of Thrones stuff, I was like, man, these women are just hairy.
A merkin.
Thank you.
It's a pubic
that's what it's
wig.
Called.
I'm proud to be a merkin. Right?
Yeah.
That song is now forever ruined.
Yes, it is.
Merkin.
Thank you, Kenny. Anyway,
make merkin great again.
So back to my original point. I think younger, I don't want to say kids, but I think kids at like 13, 14, 15 years old are seeing this stuff on HBO, and I think they're largely becoming desensitized to it, which is creating a market for harder-edged, fantastical film like superhero movies. And superhero movies are violent anyway. They should be violent. By their nature, they're violent. And I also think the rise in popularity of graphic novels like The Walking Dead, for example.
Yeah. Right.
The Dark Knight is another one. The Crow is another one. The Crow was a superhero movie. In fact, I think that may have been the very first rated R superhero movie. And it was very popular. And it still has a cult following. A very strong cult following. So I'm not at all surprised to see R-rated superhero films. And
look,
I think
Blade.
It's awesome. Blade is great.
Blade
was awesome.
Yeah, awesome.
Yeah.
So I think it's really, really cool.
Yeah,
I'm for it.
And wow. I will say that you know, back in the days when you know, before we absolutely had our huge borderline violent falling out with Comic-Con, with Solid Comic-Con,
mm-hmm.
Dan Farr and I had a very long conversation about I hadn't seen Game of Thrones at this point. Or Spartacus. And so we're hanging out with Manu Bennett, who was in Spartacus, played the white orc in, who looks like a monster on TV, but doesn't even come up to my shoulder in
right.
real life.
He's a really cool druid on Shannara.
He's an awesome guy.
He's good in that show.
He's, yeah, and he's, so he's one hell of a cool guy. Just very short. But we had this whole conversation and he said, oh, you haven't watched Game of Thrones? You got to watch Game of Thrones. And I said, and Spartacus, you haven't watched Spartacus? I said, no, I had Lucy Lawless on my show. I got to know her pretty well over the years. And she said, there's a lot of nudity in it. And so I'm not watching it. And I said it very straight faced. And he looked at me like I was insane.
Like,
he goes, you still think nudity matters? Are you kidding me? That would stop you from watching this guy? And Dan's a fairly conservative guy, and so to just see him respond that way,
well,
that tells me that the general audiences are just completely willing
like
to accept this.
You're
kind
surrounded
of,
by media, that's kind of part of the game.
And it's perforated it's perforated your consciousness and it's no longer as taboo as it was once upon a time. You know, Spinari and I were watching a show. There's this cult show that we like to watch called Thank God It's Friday. It's an old 70s disco movie.
Yeah.
Which is hilariously funny, especially if you're a DJ.
Mm-hmm.
It has Jeff Goldblum and Terry Nunn, who tried to take me into an outhouse.
You know what's weird watching that movie again? After knowing that story.
So, yeah. I don't think I've ever told you
no,
that story.
No, this on the podcast, that was the first time I heard that story.
Yeah.
I'm like, she tried to bang my dad.
Yep.
I'm like, that's a little weird to watch now.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Anyway, so, but there's, it's kind of like an episode of iCarly or Drake and Josh, Except there's
in
just
a 70s disco.
In a 70s disco, but there's just rampant drug use in it. There's right, a lot okay. of talk about, there's a lot of weed references and pill popping and cocaine references and things like, because it's the 70s, and they just didn't understand it back then the way they do now. Everybody understands that. And it's rated PG. Watching this movie, it's rated PG, and it's very profane, and it's full of drug use. But back in the day, people were totally desensitized to it. You couldn't have that nowadays and have it be a PG.
Well,
it would definitely be an R.
It's kind of weird how, like, the trends have gone that way. Like,
they've
a lot
shifted.
Of the PG stuff, where you're like, whoa, that's way too not PG. And then it's kind of gone more conservative and back to not conservative
well,
again.
Well, let's just yeah. not talk about the MPAA, which I could for a while.
There's a great documentary out about how movies are rated. I can't remember what it's called. Do you remember?
This film is not yet rated.
This film is not yet rated. If you get a chance to watch this documentary, it will
it
infuriate
doesn't nudity,
you.
Just so you know, but it will Woo-hoo! Infuriate you.
Yeah.
Jess. No, like, I remember watching back in the day, like, we would purposely rent Top Secret with Val Kilmer, which I love Top Secret,
mm-hmm.
because we knew it had boobs and it was PG.
Yeah. Airplane was another one.
Airplane.
Yeah.
Also, I remember renting 1984 when I had a book report in high school for 1984. And we watched it with a girl who's really, really Molly Mormon. And we're watching it, and it's PG,
mm-hmm.
and there's one really dirty scene where Winston goes to the slums, and some homeless lady pulls up her skirt, and you mm-hmm. see a merkin, and, and I was like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry we rented this, and it's PG.
Right.
So it just, it fluctuates. The MPAA is just super busted.
And then even wow. when I was younger, Night of the Roxbury, PG-13, there's boobies in it.
What?
There's boobies yeah. in it.
How did you miss the boobies in Night of the Roxbury?
No, that was probably by the point that I always miss nudity in movies, and Jess has to point it out for me.
I think it's a really interesting discussion. I think it's a really interesting discussion to have, but that's why I think superhero movies can be rated R now. And people will still go.
Right.
Because it is community standards, and those standards are constantly shifting. You know what I'm saying? Whether it's drug use or whether it's sex or whether it's nudity or whether it's like midgets or whatever, it always changes based on what that community, the American community or the global community is feeling at the time.
I guess if we want to turn this conversation in and make it one of like what is excess, because mm-hmm. I think Game of Thrones would be just as popular if it still had like the rated R brutality, but like little to no nudity. I don't think the nudity makes it better.
Right.
I don't think it draws in more people other than 13-year-olds hoping to catch it on cable.
Yeah.
Like, I think people are in it for the storylines, which are incredible.
To me, it does take me out of it a little. It's
right?
weird because
there's,
I like to...
There's some scenes that are hard to follow.
Yeah. And it does take me out of it a little bit when I'm going, that's a wig. I'm no longer thinking about the story.
Right.
I've now been pulled into the fact that it's like, look, I don't know an actress in Hollywood between the ages of like 18 and about 50 that hasn't had full laser hair removal done in that area. I mean, there's just, because you have to as an actress, you kind of have to,
right.
depending on the role you're going to play. So I think that when something is pulling you out of the story for any reason, that's never a
well,
good thing.
And I can think of like one particular scene. I think it was like Littlefinger and Varys.
They're talking, having a conversation. There's
and
two.
There's like two girls going at it in the background. You're like, I don't even know what they're talking about because I'm too
and
distracted by
yeah.
the whores
yeah.
in the background. Like,
yeah.
I can't.
That's
see,
to, me,
to
that's
me, that's
a problem.
Excessive and doesn't need to be there.
And I'm like the most not prudish guy. Seriously, you think Jess is like not prudish? I have absolutely no reservations about this whatsoever. I'm not a prude at all. That stuff, I'm very uninhibited that way. It doesn't bug me a bit. And
right.
if it fits the story, so be it. But I think they are intentionally doing that in some of those HBO shows just for shock value.
Yeah.
And that's inappropriate, in my opinion. If you're doing anything just for shock value.
Yeah.
I remember the Hitman video game where at the very beginning of the video game, the main character of the game, his wife is raped and his baby is killed. At the beginning of a video game.
Oh, wait, is that... I think it's Max Payne.
Oh, Max Payne. Not Hitman,
yep.
Max Payne.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I'm thinking to myself, why is this in a video game? Could you not maybe explain this in a storyline? Why do you have to have something this graphic
right.
in a video game? But the thing that's funny about video games is that you had that once upon a time. You had ultimate gore in Doom. And now you don't have gore in video games.
Uh-uh.
Now, Doom is coming back, and they're bringing it back. You have it in Mortal Kombat. You have it in, like, some older franchise games. like Doom, like Mortal Kombat, but you don't really have gore unless it's like a specific niche horror game.
Well, even with like Call of Duty,
there's not.
Back in the day, you'd shoot a guy in the leg and his leg would get completely blown off. Now you shoot a guy in like Black Ops 3, there's no blood, there's no anything.
They just fall over.
Wow.
Think about it. Metal Gear, same thing.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No blood, no. Dragon
Age toned it down too.
Yep.
And I bet
like,
and
the first
Dragon Age Origins, like you were like going at it and you had blood all over you and it was it was pretty gory.
And you didn't even notice until I brought that up.
Oh, what?
Yeah.
I remember being, you know, I had a Sega Genesis back in the day and my friends had a Super Nintendo and we both had Mortal Kombat. Mine came with the blood and Super Nintendo cut it out.
Yeah.
Unless you had the blood code. And so I'm like, yeah, I'm better than you. But I've basically been conned.
You didn't even notice.
Seeing blood.
Well, it kind of proves your point that you're still enjoying the video games just as much.
No, and that's just it.
Without having it. But it also proves the point of shifting community standards in different formats of media. And that's why you can have this gore right now and have it be okay, where 5 years from now, it would probably be completely not okay. It's a really interesting discussion about civics and community standards, to be honest with you. But I'm fine with it. I mean, I'm all the way fine with it. I'm fine with the nudity. Bring it on.
Yeah, well, going back to video games, too, there's a lot more nudity now than there ever was, and there's less gore, which I think
there's
is
characters
pretty interesting.
There's characters having sex in video games now,
mm-hmm.
where that's one of the things
the
that
Witcher,
you have to do.
You go around and just, like, bang girls. It's fine. Yeah.
Which game?
Witcher.
Witcher does it. It's really interesting when your son is playing
games.
It and you see him take the actions to go do what he's got to do. And I'm like, what are you doing? What are you doing? I'm
he's
in
like,
the room.
I have extra gold.
Yeah. I get paid.
It gives
I get
me
skill points.
No, it's super interesting. I don't know if it's still this way, but you know, many years ago when I was in Australia, which is a very European nation, obviously, they would always criticize Americans for their movies being so violent.
It's a fair criticism.
And I'd be like, okay, I see nudity on your TV in primetime hours. Like, that's what we have an issue with, and you have a problem with our violence. And so there was kind of this disconnect one way or the other, where one says, something's okay here. And I don't know if that's still that way in Europe, where billboards have nudity and it's just okay.
No, that's the one thing about taking, you know, Spinari and I playing in Europe and going and doing the things that we do, and women on beaches in Europe walking around naked. Is completely okay, and it's completely normal, and you have nudity on billboards, nudity on TV at night in France and things like that, but here you can have just heads blown off, guts all over the place, but damn, if you see a nipple, we have a problem.
Right.
But
to me, that's all the way wrong. I think that's all the way wrong.
I disagree. I am American on this. I'm American. Yeah. Because
I don't have a problem with the violence either. I'm just saying that.
Yeah,
it's just,
I mean, granted, like I, if I see violence in a movie, it doesn't affect me. If I see a real life cutting, like on a surgery show or whatever, I can't handle it. But I don't seek out nudity. Like even if it comes up in a movie, I'm like, that didn't really like Game of Thrones. I'm like, can you hurry up?
I'm just going to have a footnote to this conversation. Kay. This is the guy that ruined a copy of Friday the 13th
all
on
right.
VHS.
Okay.
Because he kept rewinding to the shower scene.
Hacha! Nope, see, it's gone. He doesn't like nudity
anymore.
He's
lost
anymore.
His peen. So,
I've lost my peen.
He's lost the peen.
So anyway, I think that, if the story calls for it, it should be in there. If you're telling a violent story, it should be in there. If you're telling a story that's about sensuality and sex in any way, then obviously it should be in there. What I hate is when they're doing it for no reason.
Right.
I agree.
And it pulls you out of the story.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, it's not that I have a moral compass towards seeing nudity. I have a moral compass towards shitty writing.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
That makes total sense.
A little kid sucking on his mom's
boob. When the kid's like 15 years old. To me, that was like child porn.
For no reason.
It was like the grossest thing.
They had the 9-year-old kid nursing on his mom. And I'm thinking, how did they film this?
What? In what?
Game of Thrones.
Oh, yeah. That was gross.
Yeah.
A kid way too old to be nursing, who's like almost to puberty age, nursing on
his
mom.
That kid's probably 35. He's the weirdest looking kid.
I sure hope so, because to me, that's child porn. And that's one of the things that Game of Thrones did, that they really pushed the boundaries as far as youth and nudity went. And if you look at the era that they're trying to portray, which is kind of the 1300s to the 1600s,
yeah,
that was a very common thing. In our world's history, that's a very common thing. But that doesn't mean I want to see it.
So I was watching Pollyanna the other day.
Haley Mills?
Yeah.
Yep.
There's some little boy nudity in that movie.
In Pollyanna?
Yeah.
What?
Right at the beginning. There's all these kids that are like 10 years old and they're swimming naked.
So what you're telling me is you noticed little boy nudity.
The first.
But you missed the pussy.
Jess. Jess. You better shut up. No, but this kid does this whole jump into the pool, spread eagle like that. I'm like, wait, this is a Disney movie from like 1954.
Mm-hmm.
But anyways, different times. But I was like, that's the kid's too old.
I remember being a little kid. Naked. No, I remember when I was a little kid, when I was little, and kids would be running around at the public swimming pools just naked. And it was like, they haven't gone through puberty. It doesn't matter. It's when I remember my mom saying to me, it's like, no, when you're older, it matters. When you're little, it doesn't matter.
Hmm.
And that's what I thought. And then the Nevermind album came out from Nirvana, and I thought, you know what, this is the only time in our history where this would ever be allowed.
Right.
Yeah.
Right here. You would never have something like this ever
happen
again.
Well, there was a definite shift to creeper status.
Album. Yeah. It's a really interesting discussion to have. But it's really cool in some ways and kind of strange for me in other ways to see this acceptance of nudity and gratuitous sex and violence on cable TV shows that are happening in a TV series.
Yeah.
Gay sex, a lot of it. Kevin Spacey's character on Game of Thrones is bisexual, and he's the president of the United States.
Yeah, House of Cards. House of Cards.
What did I say? Game of Thrones. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, Kevin Spacey's character on House of Cards. Him and his wife are banging dudes. So it's really if you're a socially conservative guy, now is not. I'm not a socially conservative guy at all, but it's a very weird time for you.
So I know we've kind of beat this point to death, but I will say that I'm going to talk about wrestling real quick. Wrestling in the late 80s, early 90s was all fun. It was neon colors. It was just kind of extravagant, right?
Yeah.
You watch wrestling and The Bachelor.
I haven't watched wrestling in a long time, but I still hold it deep. I went to Mick Foley a couple weeks ago. I was the spelling bee.
He was the spelling bee. I forgot about that. Yeah. Thank you,
but they had to do something in order to get viewers to watch it in the late 90s because it was kind of a Gen X period.
Mm-hmm.
And they made wrestling pretty dark. Their swearing was allowed. Mm-hmm. They allowed just...
Well, they made it bloody, too.
So yeah, bloody. It was called the WWF Attitude Era. Mm-hmm. And because it was really dark and everyone was kind of a heel. And you liked heels for a reason. But now it's swung back to, we can't swear on TV. John Cena's a thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's like, we can say fart. And so they've kind of swung back to, hey, our audience is more kids again.
I do remember having a conversation with members of U2 on my show. And we were having a discussion about saying the F word on TV because they had just dropped the F word at the Grammys.
Ah.
And it was Adam and it was Larry.
Okay.
And they were talking about how everybody got all freaked out about this. And they're not sorry they did it and blah, 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 blah. It was this whole big, it dominated the news cycles for a couple of days when U2 dropped the F-bomb on in their acceptance speech at the Grammys.
Mm-hmm.
Well, shortly after they did that and refused to apologize for it and everybody was all, you know, up in a hissy about it, the FCC started coming out and saying, look, we are going to relax standards on primetime TV. So you had shows like NYPD Blue, and you had some shows that started showing nudity, started showing naked butts, started doing some things that was relaxing the standards. F-words were a lot more prominent on primetime TV, like on ABC or on CBS. You had a lot of profanity. And people were just fine with it.
Yeah.
And then something happened. Do you have any idea what happened? And it reversed everything overnight, like in an instant.
I have no idea.
The FCC said the whole time, they said, look, if people don't get carried away and if community standards will accept this, then we're just not going to pursue it. There were times where even on our radio station, we were playing unedited tracks that had F-words in them,
really?
Even in morning drive, because nobody cared. Nobody said anything. And then something happened. Something went terribly wrong. Anybody know what it is? It'd be great for a media class or for a pop culture class.
What era are we talking?
Are we talking early 2000s. Yeah.
Okay.
I would say before 2006.
So it was way past Tipper Gore's time.
Way past Tipper Gore's time, yeah.
All right.
Tipper Gore was 88, I believe.
Yeah.
No idea what happened.
No idea.
They had just released the community standards. They had been released for a few, for probably about a year.
Can I make a guess?
Yeah.
9/11?
No, it was after 9/11, but that's a good guess. Yeah.
Nickelback became popular?
Nickelback was very popular and almost killed music, but that had nothing to do with community standards. No guesses?
Jess?
I don't know. I was like a junior in high school.
I'll tell you what happened. Janet Jackson whipped out her titty at the
Super
Bowl.
Oh my gosh, I totally remember that.
Really?
And it overnight changed community standards and everything reverted all the way back.
Huh.
The FCC put the clamp down because they said, nope, look, you guys are getting way too carried away when you have a child star in Justin Timberlake and a national treasure like Janet Jackson whipping out her 40-year-old titty on a Sunday afternoon for everybody to see. At the Super Bowl, this is way too much.
Did she mean to do it, though?
Yes.
Totally.
I'll get you naked by the end of this song. I mean, those are the lyrics.
And it would have been great if it was, I'll get you naked by the end of the song.
I think I missed it because I was like shoving a chip into my mouth at the time.
Yeah.
I meant what I said.
That's called a wardrobe malfunction.
That's called a Freudian slip.
Damn.
So, Jess,
I'm crying.
Tell us more about these
extracurricular. Seriously, I'm down with this story.
So you're at a Super Bowl party.
Yeah.
You paid $460 for strippers. And then what happened?
Hell no. I don't pay that much for strippers.
Yeah, no,
I know where the $20 strippers are.
Yeah, she knows. She should have taken Griff.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's what happened. And the FCC said, absolutely not. The networks came out and said, absolutely not. You have a child star, you have Janet Jackson, you have, this is absolutely unacceptable. People were outraged. Not only were they outraged, for the next 10 years of the Super Bowl, you had shitty acts like Tom Petty as the halftime show on the Super Bowl as a direct result of this. I think it's a very interesting thing that I can point to the fact that Janet Jackson's 40-year-old saggy booby changed the world for about 10 years as far as community standards went.
Huh.
Wow.
It was really only until the Sopranos kind of gained the popularity that they did. And they were around at that time.
Right.
Yeah.
But the Sopranos kind of changed TV on HBO and then Entourage and then Game of Thrones.
Well, cable became a huge deal.
Cable became a big deal.
Yeah. Yes.
And that's where I think it started to shift again. And now the networks are having to keep up. But it's an amazing discussion. We could go on and on and on about it. But yeah, interesting stuff.
Nice.
I just don't want to see any more phony fake crotches
in Game of Thrones.
Merkins.
Don't want to see it.
Do you guys want me to review some movies real quick?
Okay.
Do you have movies?
I do. I have
two. Absolutely.
The first one is Eddie the Eagle.
Speaking of that weird time in history, this is the late 80s.
It is late 80s.
I remember Eddie the Eagle,
It was at the Calgary Games.
Yeah, and he was, where was he? He was from England.
Yeah, he's from England.
That's right. And he was possibly the worst ski jumper in world history.
Well, you can't really say that. He was like the...
Well, he went back. I mean, that if you go back before, he was terrible.
Okay, so what the movie does is, and it's kind of cute in a way because it shows him from a kid, and it's very British. It feels very small, and the soundtrack's kind of fun, but it shows him, and he's got some learning disabilities, like, quite clearly. And his whole life...
Oh, I forgot that.
Yeah, his
whole... That he was learning disabled. That's right. I forgot
that. In a big way.
That's right.
And so it was always his dream to be in the Olympics in any way, shape, or form. In fact, the movie kind of... The joke is that every 2 weeks he's like... I want to be a discus thrower. I want to do triathlons. I want to do this. And then he's like...
As he's eating his custard.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then he's like, I want to do downhill skiing. But the British people who were over the British Olympic Committee is like, no, you're not really good on TV. We're not going to have you there. And so he's like, you know what? We don't have a ski jumping team. Like, we haven't for about 60-some odd years. I'm going to be our team. And so he goes to train, and it goes...
And you could just see that discussion at the committee.
Right.
I'm sorry, pardon me, but did you just make a retard ski jumper?
And that's kind of what... No, that's what the movie does.
No, I'm sure that's exactly what they... Yeah.
And so, basically, he's not doing well. He finds a coach in Hugh Jackman, which is a disgraced American ski jumper. And it just becomes this cute... And I keep saying cute
it's because... It's a great story.
It's a cute, charming story of a kid that just... won't quit until he finally goes to the Olympic Games.
And he went and didn't do great, but he didn't kill himself.
We didn't need to ruin the movie at all.
I don't know if they, does that ruin the movie?
No, not necessarily.
Okay.
But
because I could be remembering it wrong, but I remembered that he was beloved at the Olympics.
Beloved.
He was a hero, yeah.
Yes.
At the Olympics, yeah.
And that's what this movie does. It's kind of a flawed inspirational sports drama because it drags. You can tell they're leaving out certain points on purpose just for sensitivity reasons.
Mm-hmm. All the un-PC stuff like I just did.
Exactly.
Which is exact. I can almost guarantee you that's the exact conversation.
And I will say this. Like
in that time period.
Taron Egerton plays Eddie. And Taron Egerton is a handsome fella.
Mm-hmm.
And basically he's kind of playing with a frown the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he's from Kingsman.
Okay.
But Eddie the Eagle looked that way though.
No, he did. He did. You can just tell. Like it actually takes a while for you to get into the character. Because it seems like it took him a while to get into the character.
Oh, that's interesting. Interesting. Okay.
But then eventually you kind of go with it. And by the end, you're like, okay, I'm cheering for this kid. Like, this is a sweet, sweet story.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, is it the best Olympic movie ever? No. But it's worthwhile. It's a rental.
Mm-hmm.
Probably BB minus territory.
Mm-hmm.
Totally harmless fun.
And you loved it. I can tell by the way you're talking about it.
I liked it. Honestly, like
it's interesting because you're giving a review and I think you're giving it a lower grade because you're being a critic, but I can tell that you personally really liked it.
I did.
Yeah.
I walked in going, oh. Humans can sometimes be great.
I love stories like this. Yes. I don't watch them a lot because I'm really sensitive. I'm empathic. Jess is empathic. Yeah. You know, it's very hard to be empathic and not show all of the emotion that you're feeling from the screen. So I'd be walking out of there with swollen eyes, looking like a blithering idiot.
And that's kind of it. I'm actually really hard on inspirational sports movies. I don't like the genre at all because to me they're just very cliche. But this is a true story and it's just sweet.
You didn't like Miracle? How could you not like Miracle?
I like Miracle.
Right. Okay. We'll let you stay.
How I said that?
It's
I like
okay.
Miracle.
Yeah. Two hockey players, man. You got to like Miracle.
Yeah, I love it. Love it. Yeah, a plus.
Okay, so...
Second movie is called Triple Nine.
Triple Nine.
Oh,
this is
cool.
John Hillcoat, who has previously done like some of the coolest modern westerns. He's a very deliberate filmmaker, which is why this movie is it feels it's just a modern day crime drama.
Yeah, Aaron Paul's in it.
Dude, the cast is phenomenal.
Yeah.
It has Chiwetel Ejiofor. Do you like that?
Mm-hmm.
And Aaron Paul,
who was eliminated in the first round of The Bachelor.
So we got Aaron Paul, we have Norman Reedus,
right.
Casey Affleck, Gal Gadot. Let's see, who else? Kate Winslet. Just the cast just is great.
And can I tell you one of the best looking men I've ever met in my life in person, Casey Affleck?
Really?
Looks kind of dopey on camera.
Right, he's kind of like a rat,
Holy cow, that man is so handsome in real life.
Really?
Yeah, it's disturbing. Like, it made me uncomfortable.
Yeah, I like liking him more and more as an actor the more I see him.
Yeah.
So this movie is a straight up crime story. Like, there are very few people to root for because you start off just seeing the criminals trying to do a job. And these aren't likable criminals. They're like they're dangerous.
You know what it almost sounds like to me is a movie that I introduced Spinari to just last night.
Yeah.
Let me see how close I am with
this.
There was a movie that came out a couple of years ago. It was in 2007 this movie came out. And it became a cult classic, but it wasn't very successful in the theaters, even though it was huge as far as the actors that were in it. And I think it's a great movie. It had Ryan Reynolds in it. Had Jeremy Piven. Had... Ray Liotta, it had Alicia Keys, it had Tajari P. Henson
in it. Smoking Aces,
Chris Klein.
Yep.
Ben Affleck.
Ben Affleck's in it.
Yeah.
One of the coolest movies.
Great fun.
I've ever seen. If you haven't watched Smoking Aces, it's dark, it's gritty, but man, it's good.
Yeah.
It's so good. This, what you're describing almost reminds me of something like that.
It's not quite as fun. Smoking Aces knows what it is. It's almost Lock, Stock, Two Smoking Barrels type.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
This is so, so serious.
Oh, okay.
And people are getting killed left and right.
Okay.
And it's tragic. You are seeing the villains of the story most of the time. Casey Affleck is a good cop, but he's not the center of the story.
Hmm.
And so these guys, it's a very, very complicated plot there's a MacGuffin, and you have to do so many heists in order to get out of the thumb of the mafia. And wow. And just kind of the crux of the movie, Triple Nine means officer down. That's police code for officer down.
Right.
And so basically there has to be an officer down situation in order to create a diversion to commit a robbery. And so the movie gets dark.
Mm.
I mean, they're basically plotting deaths of officers.
Right.
I wonder how that's going to fly in today's community? Or is there going to be outrage?
I will
over
say
this?
These are not anti-heroes. These are villains. Like, you are going...
Okay, so it doesn't make you like them.
It doesn't make you like him at all.
Okay.
It's just an interesting take to take. And the movie itself is like... I don't want to say anything more about like the end or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
Great acting.
So you're not rooting for the main characters of the film.
It is a little overly complicated, but it's a cool watch. It's really, really intense.
Okay.
There's some great, you know, car chases, bank heists, everything like that.
Hmm.
You know, I would say this is in the B realm because I wouldn't revisit this all that often. But for anyone that needs a good crime movie that's very serious, similar to Heat.
Oh.
This is that kind of movie.
Heat's a good movie.
Yes.
Man, I haven't watched that in a long time.
Yeah, Heat's great. Heat's obviously better, but this is...
Tom Sizemore, Al Pacino, same, right. Val Kilmer.
This is same realm right there. This
Bobby
is how you're going to feel.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
That's it. Yeah. Damn, I forgot about Heat. That's like a four-hour-long epic crime
drama. Crazy.
Yeah. With like a 10-year-old Natalie Portman in it.
Yeah.
Which is weird.
It is weird.
Okay, so you gave it... It's in the B range.
It's a B. So both movies this week would be Bs, but still, I mean, if you need something to see either one.
I don't know that I would go see either one in the theater, but right. I would really look forward to seeing them when they came out on Redbox.
And I will say, just as an update, The Witch is scoring really low with audiences. Like, the cinema score that usually comes out with Rotten Tomatoes,
right.
Audiences are not liking it. Because I think they're expecting a jump scary movie. And this movie
is disturbing.
Disturbing and unsettling. And it will not be like, boo! It's just like, you walk out going, do I still have my soul?
Look, we talked about it last week. We talked about this last week. I'm surprised you made it all the way through the movie. I know you like really dark film. But even the trailer, Jess, Benari, you and myself all watched the trailer together. And it was so unsettling to me that I almost didn't even watch the trailer. That's how uncomfortable I felt.
Yeah.
If you guys would like to, I will go see it with you.
I want to.
Because it gets pretty sinister at times.
Let's go.
And
let's
I want to see how
movie.
You're feeling
yeah,
at times because
yes.
It delves into some weird crap.
Really?
That's all I can say.
Well, in the trailer, they have a baby on a sacrificial altar and a naked dude walking behind the baby.
That's just the beginning.
Oh, man.
It's a very unsettling movie. And that's why I didn't know. If you guys are going to go, I'll cave to peer pressure. I'll go with you.
Okay.
Let's go to a late night movie. We'll go see it.
Cool.
Sweet.
But yeah.
But other than that, I mean, we're going to have some pretty fun movies coming out. 10 Cloverfield Lane is coming out in a couple weeks.
Yeah. Which looks awesome, by the way.
It's going to be awesome. Yeah. So
I hated Cloverfield.
You know, a lot of people
That's
did.
That's crazy.
All the way hated it.
I shut it off. That's I didn't even finish watching it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you watch it at home?
No. You know where I saw it? I saw it. I don't know if it was Sundance or Slam Dance.
Okay.
I can't remember which one it was, but it was up at Park City. It was me and Allie McKay and a couple other comics. We all got into a screening of it,
mm-hmm.
and it made me sick.
Yeah.
A bunch
and
of
so
my dorm
I
buddies,
out.
We all went and saw it.
Yeah, I had to walk
it
out of it.
It is the kind of camera work that makes you sick, but for me, it was a total film experience. Like, I needed to see it in the theater, and mm-hmm. it wasn't quite the same at home.
Hmm.
Just because it is so frantic, and I don't know, I really got into it. It's my guilty pleasure movie.
Hmm.
So we'll see. Jess is not.
All right. Well, we're gonna have to go back
and
rewatch.
Me and all my dorm buddies hated it.
Yeah.
So no.
but this 10 Cloverfield Lane looks fantastic.
And I think it'll be a completely different movie. I don't think there will be a single monster in it. I'm just putting it out there.
What else is? So when does Suicide Squad come out?
Oh, not till August.
Oh, so it's a ways.
We are a little bit less than 1 month, or actually 1 month away from Batman versus Superman.
Okay.
So that will be the big March release. Other than that, like, there's some pretty decent movies being spread out.
Are you gonna go? You're gonna go to the VIP screening of this, aren't you?
Yeah.
Which I refuse to go to. Too many radio people.
Right.
but I almost wish I could get you to skip this and have all of us go see it together.
Oh, you couldn't talk me into that. This is my...
There's no way.
I would be like, are you effing
Did you see me try?
Yeah.
I gave it a good shot, but I was like, yeah, this is going to go nowhere.
This is my Star Wars. Like, that's like saying, hey, do you not want to see Star Wars a week and a half early?
Will you do me a favor, though? Because normally...
Probably not at this point.
Well, just hold on. We ask you, and you are all too happy to oblige, we don't talk about the movies you see when we're hanging out.
I'm pretty tight-lipped.
Yeah. It's hard for this group, for the four of us, because there are certain things
it's
that...
It's like, save it for the air.
We save it for the show.
Yeah.
We do.
And it's really hard when we're all hanging out, and we have certain areas where we won't allow ourselves to talk about it. We don't talk about certain movies. We don't talk about certain TV shows at certain times, even though they're all over Twitter and everything, because
right.
we want to save it for here. But this is one that I really want you to call me and let me know if you liked it or not. I really do, because I'm that anxious. Or okay, tell you what.
There's two different Kennys, though,
he's
here.
He's not going to do it. I know.
There's two different Kennys, because often I will walk out of something, and I'll be like, holy crap, I love that so much. And then
you have to think
when
about
you
it.
Ask the question, will I personally like this movie, I have to go, oh, maybe not. Like, from his perspective, in the movies I know he likes, you know, that, or
yeah,
the superhero
like
exhaustion,
this.
Will that come into play in this movie? Yeah. And that is what
okay,
I would
you're
have
right.
to
you know what? I can't. I won't ask. I won't put you in that position, because I really am. For the record, I want everybody to know I'm totally burned out on superhero movies. I don't like them. Even though I'm a huge superhero comic book fan, love Wolverine, love Batman, love everything about him.
Do you know what I'll do? Is like when I saw Star Wars, people were like, hey, was it like, or
no,
was it good?
That
and I
sucked.
Said, remember when
that
I was
wasn't
like this?
Fun.
I'll just say, did you see Fantastic Four? And I'll just say things like that.
Yeah, you and, yeah, like, you and Jess.
How dare you?
You and Jess messing with me and Spinari for days.
I mean, you walk in the studio, I'm like, so yeah. How was Star Wars? And you go, eh. Like, oh, don't you
dare. I remember telling him, I was like, I'm never letting Jess and Kenny see a movie before us ever again.
You should have just come with me and Kevin. Like, the theater was
empty.
You
saw it like 5 days late.
Way too late. I know, way too late.
Yeah.
Not going to happen with Batman versus Superman. Not going to happen with Suicide Squad.
You'll come with me and Kevin.
Done.
And it'll be an empty theater
again.
Okay,
done.
It'll
be awesome. If Kevin's cool with that, because I know, you know, we
totally
kind of freak
cool.
him out a little bit. So
he's fine.
Okay.
So, I mean, that's pretty much it. We've talked about media a lot this show. The Oscars are on this weekend, so that will be what it will be.
Mm-hmm.
I watch it even though I don't care much for it. But, yeah, I'll give you an update next week.
I'm boycotting.
Are you? Stop it.
My
Stop it.
My people. My people.
Can I boycott because they're boycotting?
Oh, sure.
So, the Oscars okay. and Absolutely. The Bachelor.
Yep.
Right.
They don't like my people. So, you know, the problem with it, I just don't think there's any good movies nominated this year. Can I just tell you?
Well, there is a certain movie about a guy named Max.
Which I don't get.
Yeah, really?
Oh, yeah.
Best Picture.
It's nominated for Best Picture.
Yeah. Best Director.
You didn't know that?
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Mad Max, and you know what? I thought when I saw that, when Mad Max got nominated for Best Picture, I just went, they want all the young kids to watch.
Same with The Martian.
And The Martian. Well
The Martian was awesome.
The Martian was awesome.
The Martian.
Right.
I know you didn't like it, Kenny, as much.
I liked it.
I loved it. I thought it was great.
Mm-hmm. I loved The Martian. It
yeah.
was cool.
It's one that I could watch over and over
but again. It was so commercially successful that I think like that and Mad Max are like, hey, no one's seen these other movies that made $6 million each. Let's nominate these so people will hope they'll win, but they don't have a chance in hell.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Revenant will pretty
like
much
when I hate watch the Oscars and Lord of the Rings didn't win anything.
Dude.
That was BS.
Right?
That was BS.
Right?
Okay, take it easy.
I was so pissed.
Take it easy. I know Two Towers didn't win when it was supposed to, but Return of the King won almost, or at least, every single award it was nominated for.
Pretty
Best
close.
Picture, Return of the King.
Oh, it was.
And they got like music.
Oh, you're right. I forgot
I think
about
they
that.
Got musical score.
It was kind of, it won at least 11 Academy Awards that year because it was kind of the
It was like 9 or something.
It was the It was the culmination of the whole trilogy, I believe. Because I don't even think it's the best one, but I think they're like Peter Jackson, well freaking done.
You know what? I think you're probably right on that. It was almost like an honorary thing.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Where we're going to and that's what's going to happen with Leo this year.
Much the same.
It's going to be an honorary thing. It's like, well, this just happens to be the movie he made this year.
The crawling movie he made
every
this
movie
year.
He does is him crawling around and screaming. It's like, remember when Dakota Fanning couldn't make a movie without making me sterile with the way that she screams? That's Leo DiCaprio in every movie. Him crawling around and screaming on
the
floor.
Yeah, but he got raped by a bear in this one.
Yeah.
I gotta go see it.
Watch that director's cut.
Anyway,
Did you guys see the meme of Leo with like his little teddy bear? And then like the next frame is him getting attacked by a bear. And it's like, well, that escalated quickly. No? Okay. I'm not.
I think it was a timing issue there, Jess. I think
I'm done for the night. I'm too freaking tired.
Can we have a
You were on the right track.
Can we have a segment called Jess Explains Memes? Because there's some Kanye memes I would love you for you to explain.
I'm just done for the night. I'm
Remember,
freaking
did
tired.
You ever see that episode of The Simpsons when Ralph Wiggum explained the Valentine cards?
I chew.
There's a picture of a train.
Can this show be over yet?
Yes, it's
done.
Over. It's over.
I'm freaking done.
Let's go play video games and
You're
eat chicken
the one
wings.
That's been kicking me.
All right, listen, everybody, have a great rest of your week. Thank you so much for listening to all of the shows on podbash.com. The ratings continue to grow. We are very, very grateful. Remember, tell all your friends about podbash.com. Remember to subscribe to all of the shows on whatever it is that you're listening via, whether it's iTunes or Pocket Cast or
Spreaker,
however you're
or
listening. Or you could just go to podbash.com and they're all right there for you. Greg's Guide, The Wisp Paranormal Show, Runcast USA, Are We Prepared Yet, Bacon Sale, Level 22, Bash Music.
Bash Music. Yeah.
And by the way, this weekend on Bash Music, it's me for 2 hours, then it's Spinari taking your requests for an
nice.
Hour.
Yeah.
So it should be fun. And tell everybody to check out podbash.com. It is growing in leaps and bounds, and we couldn't be happier about that. So thank you so much. Have a great rest of your week. And as always, peace.
This is the Radio Ronin Show on podbash.com.